Absolutely. Dr. Warner. So you just click the microphone button or hold click Control D in order to unmute yourself there.
Hi.
Right, Dr. Klein.
Present.
Dr. Les. And in order to unmute yourself, Dr. Les, you'll dial star six. Dr. Les, dial star six in order to unmute yourself on your phone there so you can chime in for the role.
We may not have a quorum here then.
Yeah, let me see if I can just bring him back in a different way here.
Hello, David. I'm
Hi, Dr.
here.
Lev. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'm
All right.
here.
All right, so we can hear you now. So.
I pressed star six about 10 times. It didn't do
Huh.
anything.
So he's not feeding back, so let's just leave
Yeah,
him unmuted.
I'm muted. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Les is present, and President Fontes.
Present.
We do have four members present, and so we have a quorum and are able to do business.
Excellent. Item number three on today's agenda, declaration of conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest to declare? Hearing none. Well, let's give a little chance here to somebody who might be muted. Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to agenda item number four, review, discussion, and possible action regarding applicants for homeopathic medical licensure. I understand we have two candidates. Director Jerminski, if you could review Sean K. Centers for us.
Absolutely. Let me pull up his material here. Dr. Centers is an applicant for a homeopathic physician's license. He appears to have submitted all the required documentation for his application and paid the necessary application fees. He has come into the office, taken and passed the written examination. And so our recommendation would be to approve him for a license.
As I was going through both of these, I noticed one of them had a statement issued on how they intend to practice. Was that Sh Centers or Light?
I wanted to say that was Dr. Light.
Yeah. Is Centers here? Do we know? Does he living here? Is he practicing here?
Dr. Centers is on the line, so he can probably answer that for you himself. If he can unmute himself.
Dr. Centers, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi, this is Dr. Centers.
Hi, Dr. Centers. We are here today addressing the homeopathic and integrative Medical Board of Examiners, and we thought we would do a short little interview to see who we're joining the ranks here. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and your intent to practice in Arizona under this licensure?
Yeah, so my initial training was as an herbalist. I trained with Dr. John Christopher in Spring Hill, Utah. Then I went to medical school. And after medical school, I trained with Dr. Viola Steinman, who was an osteopath and homeopathic medical doctor. She had studied and interned at the Royal Homeopathic Hospital in London. I think it's now called Royal London Hospital for Integrative Medicine. My current practice involves homeopathy, herbal medicine, essential oils. I began to delve into the sensation method with Dr. Sakaran. I also trained in Ayurvedic medicine. My intention is to move to Arizona and practice in Arizona.
Wonderful. Do you have a area or specialty in mind in Arizona?
The area that I would practice would be homeopathy, integrated medicine, and mind-body medicine.
Wonderful. Any other questions?
I'm just curious to know, Dr. Centers, is there a reason for leaving California?
There are many reasons, but the atmosphere in California is not as friendly as it used to be.
You mean because of all the smoke?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, right now we're in the purple zone in San Diego, which is where I'm from. Purple zone means that pretty much we're on complete lockdown. Patients coming from other places, and I have a number of them, can't get hotel rooms unless they want to stay in a COVID hotel. And, you know, I'm looking for, you know, perhaps, you know, another type of environment that's a little bit more open. I think that the medical freedom in California is less than what it used to be. And also, I'm looking for a better place for my family.
Thank you, Dr. Centers.
Yes, you're welcome.
Any other comments, questions? All right, well, it sounds like Arizona and Phoenix is amenable to a lot of those things. I hope you enjoy heat. We got a lot of that. Director Zeminski, back over to you.
I'm sorry, what was the, I didn't hear you directly.
Well, I think we should do, has he taken all the his exams and passed everything?
Yes.
So we need a motion to approve.
I move we approve Sean Christian Center's DO license as a practitioner of homeopathic and integrative medicine.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. May I be the first to congratulate Dr. Centers on the homeopathic licensure in the great state of Arizona.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, but well, we look forward to meeting you in person. I hope you take a little time out to come and address the board if and when we can meet together in person.
Great.
Okay. So you're welcome to mute yourself or have Director Dominski mute. So we're going to move on to our second candidate here, Jonathan B. Light. Director Dominski, can you give us a little background on Jonathan B. Light?
Absolutely. And I'm just going to mute number ending in 15 again here. Dr. Light also appears to have submitted all the documentation that he needs in order to become licensed. However, he has not yet taken the written exam, and so he's not strictly eligible for licensure. But I would hate to have him wait for another 2 months for his license. And so my recommendation is that the board review his application, and then if you feel that he would be eligible for licensure if he passed the exam, then to approve his license contingent upon that passing of the examination.
Is Dr. Light with us today?
No, he's not.
No. Would you review his a little bit on his application and his intent to practice? Because those are the questions we would ask anyway, and he's already provided those answers. So I don't know that he needs to be here, but people are generally interested in their intent to practice.
Sure, hold on. Try to pull it up in a way that's less slow here. I feel like my computer's from the Eisenhower administration today.
I have it if you'd like me to read it.
If you'd like to, sure. Absolutely.
All right, this is Jonathan Light, MD, description of your intended practice. I intend to open up a small integrative medical clinic that combines all my skills developed over a life of practicing holistic medicine with my practice as a family medical physician. For decades of my life, I accumulated knowledge and experience running a successful naturopathic care clinic, all the while building out my education in other related areas such as acupuncture, nutrition, vitamin and natural therapies, and homeopathy. At age 53, I opted to grow my knowledge by going back to medical school to get my license as a family doctor. After many years of active residency in hospitals while also practicing integrative and general medicine, I'm well positioned to bring this full realm of experience to provide the best of care to my patients. In my new practice, I, as an expert in both sides of medicine, I can add extra credibility to the integrated and homeopathic approaches that I have found to be both the most effective for many conditions and the best for creating long-term health. I will offer allopathic and alternative medicines, including homeopathy, herbal and vitamin therapies, and nutritional plans. To supplement these services, I intend to become certified in chelation as soon as the required certification courses become available again. My unique experience and wide range of knowledge will come together to create a trustworthy, thoughtful, and effective homeopathic and integrated medicine clinic that brings the power of holistic and alternative medicine to as many people as possible. All right. Any comments or questions? I know he's not here, but maybe we could feed those questions to his application.
Well, I think this is a very interesting doctor. I'd like to know why he wants to come here too. He's in his 70s, so he brings a lot of wisdom and experience with him. He's had tons of experience, practical experience in most of the integrated modalities, including homeopathy. So he looks like an excellent candidate. So is Dr. Centers. I mean, we're very lucky. We have two, I think, really excellent candidates for licensure.
I wonder if either of them might be interested in instructing the newer generations. That would be
right. Mm-hmm. Well, the centers or Dr. Centers is an educator. So,
a
big time educator, runs big conferences, talks, has written chapters on autism and books, and so he's one you might tap, Mario.
Oh, well, maybe he can come and meet us at the board someday. All right. So I think our motion is going to include provision for additional exams or certifications.
Correct, Dr. President Fontes. He has applied for both a homeopathic license and a dispensing permit. So you would need to approve his license and his dispensing improvement. Dispensing permit contingent upon him passing the written exam.
So dispensing permit, tell us about that.
So in order to, in Arizona, in order to dispense, prescription drugs.
Oh, he doesn't have a medical license in Arizona.
What's that?
So he doesn't have an active MD license in Arizona?
Let me look that up. I believe he does, but in order to dispense under this license, you have to have a permit from us. Yes, he does have an Arizona medical license.
You have to have it.
Okay. All right. Can we get an appropriate motion?
Yeah, and it looks like he intends to dispense homeopathic remedies. Prescribed for diagnosed health problems, homeopathic remedies sold for over-the-counter indications, natural substances, vitamins, minerals, herbs, and pharmaceuticals that you can also get over-the-counter. So just because he's dispensing it at his clinic, he needs the permit from us.
I'll motion to approve Dr. Jonathan Light for licensure and dispensing approval contingent on his passing the examination.
Okay, we have a motion by Dr. Klein. Do we have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Great, second by Dr. Warner. Those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. We'll provisionally congratulate him on his licensure. And again, please, Director Bonetti, give them an open invitation to come and meet the board should we meet again in person?
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, moving on to... Do we have an echo here from 7-9? Can we mute 7-9?
7-9 is Dr. Les.
Well, let's put up with 7-9 for a while. Okay, let's move on to agenda item number 5, review, discussion, and possible action regarding potential statute and rule changes to ARS Title 32, Chapter 29. AC Title 4, Chapter 38. Director Jerminski, for those of you who are not familiar, can you review SB 1075 from the 54th Legislature Second Regular Session 2020?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just kind of a recurring agenda item right now because we're heading into the legislative session season, I should say. And the board at the last meeting voted to once again go forward with the same legislation that we tried to do last year. And so I'll be, seeking a sponsor and doing what needs to be done in order to repeat that legislation, perhaps splitting some of those issues into different bills, that sort of thing. The second part of that is that the board at the last meeting asked me to look into what would need to be done in order to modify perhaps our continuing education requirements and clarify that telepractice is part of it's just a mode of communication that, you know, our licensees can use in order to practice, I suppose. And so I wrote some pretty simple changes, I think, and that's under in your materials under new legislation, under statute and rule changes, new legislation. And what that is simply an additional definition stating that telepractice means, and I need to change one of those words there, but basically means providing homeopathic medical services through audio, video, or electronic communication that occurs between the licensee and the patient or client, including any electronic communication for diagnostic, treatment, or consultation purposes in a secure platform. And that meets the requirements of telemedicine pursuant to Section 36-3602. And telepractice also includes supervision. That would clearly state that, you know, telepractice obviously is part of what we do, and add that definition into our statute.
Is that telemedicine or telepractice?
I'm sorry, telepractice.
What's the difference between telemedicine and telepractice?
You know, that's a great question that may be something Seamus can answer for you. It's just that, you know, looking through the statutes and rules from the medical board and through the psychology board and behavioral health, telepractice was the term that they used.
This Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Yeah, I think they're used interchangeably. I know that a lot of the other health boards say telemedicine as well. So, you know, I really don't think it matters.
Yeah, it may. It seems like, you know, we're fighting this integrated kind of semantics now. I would like to get it through before we ink it.
I would agree with that. I think that needs some research.
I'd like to add the reference to 36-3602. They use the term telemedicine in that statute.
I would prefer the terminology telemedicine. It seems like that's the, unless there's a reason to use telepractice.
Telepractice could be yoga.
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan again. I do know, I can add that telepractice is usually used as a more generic term. That's not, you know, that's not a legal conclusion, but you know, telemedicine is used more often to refer to things that have to do with the practice of health.
Can we use both terms? Is that?
You can do whatever you want.
Well, I think it should be telemedicine.
Okay.
Because it means healing. So any practice that involves healing.
I will update that to say telemedicine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other move here?
The other portion is that if you're done speaking on the telemedicine definition.
I am.
Okay. The other issue in here is the board asked me to look at the continuing education requirements.
Yes.
There are different ways to look at how to make sure that your licensees are staying current and practicing and, you know, capable of taking care of their patients appropriately. One of those ways is to simply set a minimum work requirement. I know the Board of Nursing in Oregon and in Arizona both have a minimum practice requirement, and then they don't have to take continuing education, things like that. And so I just wrote just a really brief change to our statute regulating continuing education. And it would say that they can complete 20 hours of board-approved continuing education in the preceding year, or have practiced for a minimum of 500 hours in the preceding year. So I don't know. The question that I would have is that something you think is appropriate to say, you know, you can either do the CE or you can prove that you worked for 500 hours and saying, like, if you've been working for 500 hours and treating patients, then if you practice for 500 hours and then you've got the skills necessary. And if that's the case, then does the 500 hours make sense or should it be more or less?
How would we verify something like that?
So the way that, for instance, the Arizona Nursing Board does it is they have a list of things that count. So working for compensation as a volunteer, as a licensee, or having position for compensation as a licensee, and of any type. So volunteering somewhere, working in your clinic, you know, whatever, counts for those hours. And then they don't audit it, but if the complaint is filed, then they look into it. And so if someone says, look, I don't think this person's actually, you know, working, like they're just retired and, you know, lying to the board, then that becomes an issue for discipline rather than monitoring.
I'd like to hear our licensees weigh in on this.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion either way.
I agree with Mario. That might be something for Lisa Platt to bring up at AHIMA about how they feel about that. I think that there certainly is more room for abuse if you say you're going to practice rather than do CME. Practice 500 hours rather than do CME. You might have office hours for 500 hours, but you may not be treating patients for all of that time.
I would think from the association point of view that issuing the CEs usually is a function of the association, and it kind of brings in funds to the association. So I would be very interested in the association's point of view on that.
And President Fontes, board members, just to be clear, and I know that you're not saying this anyway, but just to be clear, is that, you know, we're not concerned about, you know, whether or not someone is gaining a monetary, you know, boon from, you know, our statutes and rules in any way.
Understood.
Only that
implications. That was my point. Not the right. Financial status.
And we just want to make sure that the statutes are clear.
Weigh in on this.
I agree with trying to get the licensee's thoughts on this. I like that CMEs have they're easy to verify. I share the sentiments already shared. I think. I don't think our licensee community is big enough to affect the education being offered, but if it was big enough, I would be concerned if too many people went with the clinical approach, less CMEs might be made available if attendance were to drop. Uh-huh. I would want to foster more of the education side of it.
Can we take this until next meeting and then maybe the association would like to address the board? If they don't, that's fine too.
And we could even, you know, if you wanted to, just send out a survey as to, you know, what our licensees feel, you know, because we want to make sure, you know, and I obviously, you know, for me, it doesn't matter what the board does with this issue, you know, but I just want to make sure that what we're doing is making our licensing and application process as easy, clear, and correct as possible. And so I want to make sure that these are, absolutely, you know, that the continuing education process is effective and appropriate. And so, you know, I think it's a great idea to reach out to our licensees and say, hey, what, do you think that the continuing education that you're taking is effective? You feel like the 20-hour requirement is too much or too less? You know, do you feel like if you've been working for a certain amount of time that you've gained the, you know, knowledge and experience that you need to, you know, that you don't need to go to sit in the course for, you know, 20 hours, that sort of thing? And,
how often do we have these kind of outreach to the members, or do we at all? Or would this be a first?
Yeah, not very often, no.
Yeah, I think I think I'd like to do this, and, you know, we might foster a little community here unintentionally. Okay, so can we table this? Do we need a motion to table this until next meeting?
Yeah, if you'd like to.
All right, would anybody care to make a motion?
So move. We can.
Second.
Second. Dr. Lesk.
I'm sorry, was there a motion there?
There was from Dr. Warner and a second from Dr. Lesk.
To table to next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Are those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
MG?
Aye.
Dr. Les?
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay.
All right, and did you want to do a motion for the telemedicine portion to include that?
Okay, would anybody like, so even on the agenda here is listed as telemedicine. So
right.
Can you make a motion for, would somebody like to make a motion for item 5B, telemedicine, and the verbiage association?
Yeah, I move that we retain the word telemedicine in our statute.
Do we have a second? We have a.
Do we need the motion to also include adding it to the statute?
Correct. We don't currently have telemedicine anywhere.
All right. Then I so move that we add the word telemedicine to our statute of practice.
Motion by Dr. Warner, and it sounds like we may have a second by Dr. Klein.
I will second.
All right. Are those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything more on agenda item number 5?
Not today.
Okay. Would you let us know if that changes? Okay. Agenda item number 6, review, discussion, and possible action regarding fee and continuing education waivers related to COVID-19. Director Jeminski, would you review where we are on this?
Absolutely. And board members, this is just something that will stay on your agenda, you know, basically into the future. You know, the board voted to waive the late fees due to COVID-19. And so, you know, we've had a few individuals take advantage of that, but it really hasn't been too much of an impact on it, I would say. And so this is just, I don't think you need to make a motion today, but this is just an opportunity for you to, you know, to decide whether or not, you know, it's appropriate to continue with that or if it's appropriate to discontinue it.
Okay. I mean, I don't think it's hurting the board financially. And, you know, somebody may be experiencing financial challenges can be benefited. I'm in favor of continuing.
I am too.
All right. So I don't think we need to make a motion on this. If there's any other discussion, hearing none, let's move on to agenda item number 7, review, discussion, and possible action regarding executive director report. Director Jeminski, take it away.
Absolutely. Just really briefly with the budget, we are still in the black. Great news. You know, you've heard before, but when I came in, we were sitting at about $13,000 in the account, and now we have a little over $50,000. As of the end of the fiscal year. So that's great news. It means that we might have some options in the future. I had a demo with a company who does licensing software, and we may have an opportunity to update our licensing database and online, you know, license verifications and that sort of thing. And so because we now are back in the black, we might have additional options as far as, you know, fixing that up. And so I'm hopeful to get that done sometime in the next few months. So that'll be great.
So I'm not only hopeful, I'm really thankful for all of the hard work Director Drabinski put into this. There was a low level of anxiety at the board over overarching every discussion that was financially based. And now we're in a position where we're looking forward instead of kind of wondering if we were going to dwindle.
Hear, hear. Thank you. A special thank you to David for all the hard work, because I know there's been a lot of work around our board, getting it back into the 21st century here.
Agreed.
Not a problem. So, and we, you know, partially to that point, you know, January's coming up, and we will need to, we have that interagency service agreement between the acupuncture and the homeopathy boards. And so every year we should just review that and make sure that, you know, everything's allocated appropriately and that the workload is where it needs to be. And so I'll probably have some recommendations either to continue it just as is or to modify it in some way come January. So.
How are we doing with your assistant?
Right. So as you know, unfortunately, we lost our licensing coordinator, who's no longer in state service. But we have actually found an individual who I think is going to be really great. He's a graduate with a bachelor's degree in communications. He's from Oregon originally. He's now in Colorado, but he's here to Arizona.
Oh, he's moving.
Yeah, he's moving, and so he'll be beginning on Monday.
Oh, you've already done the interview process, and
yeah.
Now, is this going to be a full time or a part time?
A full time.
Okay, good, because I fully support that.
Yeah, and he's as part of the interview, I sent him a list of, I want to say, like 10 or 12 questions, and you had to find the answers in the statutes and the rules and go through our licensing system and, you know, go through our website. And it was not easy to find all these things. And he got, nine out of 10 things correct, I want to say. I sent him, a fake application along with documentations for the boards. And, I want you to, without any training, come up with a letter saying what's missing in the application, what we still need, what's the person submitted, that sort of thing. And it was actually pretty accurate based off of our statutes and rules. So I'm really hopeful.
I think we should issue the Director Drabinski scavenger hunt to the potential licensee.
So, yeah.
Maybe the potential board members? I don't know. I think we should repurpose it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
As far as
do we have a name for the employee?
Yeah, it's Richard Graham.
Richard Graham. All right. Well, we look forward to meeting Mr. Graham.
Yeah, absolutely. And other than that, for board office highlights, I don't have a great deal. So.
Oh well, that's good. Okay, so we can move off of 7 then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can I manner? Was there an item we were going to add from the last meeting that was brought up during the call to the public? I'm trying to recall.
I think there was. I don't remember what it was, though, because we were trying to engage and we got disengaged.
Yeah.
Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Maybe that's, are you thinking about things to put on future agendas?
Well, there was last meeting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, unfortunately, because it didn't make it onto the agenda, we can't necessarily discuss it unless it's going to be in lieu of putting it on a future agenda.
Oh, very good. I'll bring it up at that point then.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go. We'll get there. All right, let's move to agenda item number 8, call to the public. Do we have any, I know we have some public here. Director Jerminski, can you make a public announcement?
Absolutely, so the call to the public is a time where any member of the public who's on the line address the board, you know, for any issue that's within the jurisdiction of the board. And so if there are any members who are currently on the line who have anything they'd like to, you know, say to the board, they may do so. The board can't have a discussion back and forth on that issue, but they may instruct staff to place it onto a future.
David?
Yes.
This is Lisa Platt. So one, thank you to everyone for all your good work and for all the updates today. And congratulations to Dr. Centers on being our newest licensee. Earlier you were talking about the telemedicine versus the telepractice, and someone suggested reaching out to the licensee. So if that's what the board is going to do, would you send me a summary and I will gladly send it out and ask people to contact you with their viewpoints. The association, AHIMA, will be happy to help in that area. And the second thing I just wanted to point out in just terms of looking ahead and scheduling and in terms of future legislation, I think the board's next public meeting is the second Tuesday in January. And a lot of times that week is either the week historically that the legislature's gone back in session or it goes back the following week. So I'm just going to ask the board to be mindful as the timing as they meet, when you meet, and items that you want to put into stat, you know, the bills to create and change the things that did not get done last legislative session. So I'm just going to put it out there to just check your calendars and just be mindful of the timing. And that's my call to the public.
All right, thank you, public. We always appreciate hearing from the association. All right, any other public? Hearing none, we should move to item number 9. Mentioned by Dr. Klein, discussions of items to be placed on future agenda.
So unfortunately, I don't recall what it was, but last meeting,
and
there was a call from the public.
So Dr. Klein, I think that what you're talking about is that there was a little bit of discussion surrounding hydroxychloroquine and immunizations and that sort of thing. Unfortunately, I don't think that, you know, the general orders from the governor's office or whether or not, you know, hydroxychloroquine will be accepted, that sort of thing, falls specifically under the jurisdictional purview of this board. And so because of that issue, it was decided, like, not to put it on the agenda.
You know, and it's possible I might be thinking of the meeting from the acupuncture board. Was that brought up in that board? Am I getting mixed up?
well, I was at that meeting.
No, you can contact David Jerminski throughout the month. So we'll just leave that there.
Very okay. Good. I have no items to add or to.
Thank you, Dr. Klein. Anyone else besides Dr. Klein have issues to add?
Well, I think, will we be able to discuss this CME versus practice, clinical practice?
That's a great idea. If the association comes back, then we should have it on the agenda to discuss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it makes sense to have some sort of meeting. You know, in December, the President Fontes created a committee for statutes and rules. So I think that what we'll probably do is just have that smaller group meet in December, and then they can give me direction and set me off on my way, unless the whole board wants to meet together.
Can we schedule a meeting for that, or do we need to?
It's totally up to you whether you, you know, schedule it now or at a later date.
I tell you what, if there's an item that needs to be discussed, can you contact me and we'll set it up then?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely. I think the only thing that's still pending is the CE issue. Like everything else.
We don't need to meet separately, but it's nice to have the infrastructure to meet should something come up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'll reach out and coordinate schedules.
Excellent. Any other items? Dr. Les, do you have anything?
No.
All right. You heard it from Dr. Les. Nothing more. Let's move on to item number 10, adjournment. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Motion made by Dr. Warner. Do we hear a second? I saw it by Dr. Klein, but I didn't hear it.
Second.
All right, Dr. Klein seconded. Those in favor, aye.
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 Those opposed, Michelle would like to remain here for the remainder of the day. Hearing none, I hereby call this meeting to adjourn.
Everyone, take care.
9:51.